Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, rank the quarterbacks left in the playoffs.
Well, give me a second. I'll think about it.
I think it's pretty obvious, number one.
Oh, you mean from AFC and NFC
total.
Separately?
No. All together. Brady's the best.
Yeah, Brady would be number one. I would put number two.
Breeze, Ryan, or Roethlisberger?
It's not the same Breeze right now.
He was good yesterday now.
I guess I'll go Breeze.
Breeze?
I'll go Roethlisberger three.
Ryan four?
Well, hold on a second. Is there no one else?
Well, there's Case, Mariota, Foles, and Bortles.
Well. No, that's fair. That's fair. I go Ryan. We'll take a bunch of crap from the Keenumites that Case isn't number two behind Brady. You do realize that, right? And the Keenumites are brutal, but, I mean, he's played really well.
But these are all guys who have...
Yeah, but
done
this year,
in the postseason,
consistency this year, I would put Case maybe ahead of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has not had the year that Case has had. Case has
Pro Football
been more
Focus
consistent.
Had Matt Ryan as the second quarterback.
I'm sorry, I thought you must have thought I cared what Pro Football Focus said.
Well, right. Matt Ryan has played, and here's the thing about it though is Matt Ryan has the experience of going through and choking a Super Bowl. So
Matt Ryan had. Can you believe this? How did he get that with Pro Football Focus? Matt Ryan had 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions this year. That's terrible. He was literally 20 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. He's not even 2-1.
And he was their second. Not even Carson Wentz.
That doesn't make any sense. I would say, I mean, Case has been better than Matt Ryan for this entire year, but
Who would you rather have a quarterback
next
weekend?
It's a gun to the head. Okay, you got a gun to your head. Who are you picking? I'm picking Matt Ryan.
I'm going to take Matt Ryan, too.
Yeah, so I'll go Case 5. I would say Mariota 6.
No, 7 and 8. You got to go Bortles and
Bortles
then Foles.
Bortles and then Foles, yeah.
So the better quarterback usually wins, right? You would think.
Yeah, but I mean, you had lots of you had Marino games that weren't wins. I mean, sometimes it depends on the weaknesses of the team. See, like the Steelers don't have any glaring weaknesses.
This weekend, for the most part, other than the Kansas City game, the better quarterback won.
Yes, Matt Ryan. Yeah, although Goff had a better year than Matt Ryan.
Yeah, but again, aren't you taking Matt Ryan's experience over Goff?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, you can look at Matt Ryan. It's funny because I don't want to rewrite history on this. Matt Ryan had a great run, and then Matt Ryan kind of went in the tank a little bit for a couple of years.
Well, he was MVP last year, though.
And then Kyle Shanahan – well, that's right. What I was going to say. Kyle Shanahan came in, and Kyle Shanahan changed everything. Kyle Shanahan got Matt back on track, and the offense got going. But when you look at Matt Ryan as a quarterback, he's been in the league a while, hasn't he? Last year, he was 38 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, right? Quarterback rating 117. Before then, 21-16, 28-14, 26-17. Those are 3 straight years, and he's back to that. Yeah, so when you look at his sample size, 3 of his 4 years, I'm not sure. Last year looks like the outlier, not the norm. The last 4 years, Matt Ryan has been solid, not great. And I would say, I think that's who he is more than anything, a solid, not great. I think that running game, when it was really going and Kyle Shanahan had the play action, boot action stuff, he looked better than he actually is.
Here's the thing, though.
But now we're
cut. Got to the Super Bowl, was up 28-3, won last week at the Rams, played pretty good football, going to Philadelphia this week as a favorite. You think that they can obviously can win this football game. They're going back to the NFC Championship game.
I bet you Philly beats them.
You do? I don't think so with Foles. I mean, after that Dallas game,
I'm not a Foles fan, but I just
how are they going to score?
I just
especially the way that their defense is playing. Atlanta's defense is playing.
Go on the road two straight games and win in the playoffs. We'll see.
Of course, we've seen six seeds now.
But what you're saying is why they have a chance. It's the defense. It's not Matt Ryan and the offense. The defense is what's going to
give them
a chance.
That's right. And Nick Foles against that defense?
Yeah, no. But it, once again, strengthens the fact that it's not the Matt Ryan factor. It's really the defense is what gives them a chance. I don't think Matt Ryan's not going to suddenly catch fire. He didn't catch fire the other day.
No.
I thought Matt Ryan was just okay, but that defense is brutal. Like, if that defense is playing really well and they're attacking the quarterback, you got problems with that Atlanta team. That's why Atlanta, to me, has a great chance. And Philly is because, you told me they're the favorite, right?
Yeah, three and a half.
I bet the bettors are going to snap that off and take that down.
I mean, he was 21-30, 218 yards with a touchdown.
Shabby.
Yeah.
That's very shabby, isn't it? 21-30 for 218?
Yeah. He averaged 7.3 yards a pass. So shabby. That's very shabby. Yeah. But he did what he had to do. I mean, you know, they did what they had to do, and he didn't make mistakes anyway.
His completion percentage this year is the lowest it's been since 2011. I don't know. I'm just not all in on Ryan, but now we're splitting hairs on Matt Ryan, who I don't think the if Matt played like last year, I would think the Falcons. I think maybe I'm just working off of last year Ryan, because if you don't get last year Ryan, that's not a team that's going to come from – I don't think that's a team that can come from – the bottom and win, even though it's weak at the top. The Rams were kind of a paper tiger. No one believes in Case, but I guess he just has to keep winning. I don't know what he has to do.
If Philly loses, they've got home field advantage throughout the Super Bowl.
I'm not buying into Philly with Foles.
No.
You know, it really sets up well for Minnesota. That's why Minnesota's the favorite. But, and yet, you just don't find a whole lot of people who buy into the Case Keenum.
Well, you know what? They don't have to. That's all he's got to do is go out there and win. That's it. You know what? That's all he's got to do. And this Saints defense, while it was better this year.
Is Case Alex Smith?
Case is, yeah.
Case can move a little bit. Is he Alex Smith? Because there's nothing wrong with Alex Smith.
No.
Nothing wrong with being Alex Smith as a quarterback. If you know who you are and you don't ask him to, you know, to put an offense on his back, why can't Case be Alex Smith? No one's questioned whether Alex Smith is a guy who you figured with the running attack and with defense, you could ride him potentially deep into the playoffs, maybe even challenge the.
Didn't Case put this team on his back more, though, than. Because Alex Smith had Kareem Hunt, you know, running wild, and he had those quick guys and a lot of, you know, jet sweep stuff and all
they
that
don't
stuff.
They don't have the running game.
They don't.
That Kansas City does. Case has been.
Yeah.
Case has been really good. Two touchdowns a game. Case has been rock solid. That's what I'm saying. Realistically, I don't think you could make an argument for Ryan over Case this year. But if you work off of experience, yeah, you would say Matt Ryan over Case Keenum. But there's really nothing this year that would lead you to believe that Case. I mean, Case should be in those top four quarterbacks. And I'm not a Keenumite at all. I think those people are super annoying, frankly. But. I mean,
you people.
It is what it is. Case has played good football this year. And if you can't admit that, then you're just having an agenda. Because Case Keenum has been a good football player this year. And people keep trying to find ways to get him out of there. And I just know he keeps making plays. And it's not just passes. Adam Thielen's had a very strong year. Case is throwing on the football. And you can tell me about where he overthrew this or overthrew that. I get that. But he's also a guy who scrambles and extends with his legs and gets third downs with his legs. I mean, he's a rascal, and I say that.
Wow.
Rascal. That's a very positive term. When I say rascal, I mean it in a very positive way.
Do you think rascal is a positive thing?
If you were called a rascal.
My wife calls me a rascal all the time. That's not a positive thing.
Now, if I had said.
She's not a fan when she calls you a rascal?
She's really not a fan.
You know who else is a rascal? Frickin' Baker Mayfield's a little rascal.
Oh, he's a rascal.
Now, what if I called Lamar Jackson a rascal?
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Then all of a sudden it turns into a racial thing.
Good luck with that, homeboy.
And by the way, rascal is a term of endearment. It's a term of respect, not endearment, respect. If you call somebody a little rascal to me, man, that guy's a rascal.
What if,
a quarterback,
what if Lamar Jackson plays all Hully Gully? Then what, though?
He does. Playground football? Backyard football?
Well, if SEC guy says it, that's one thing.
Well, you expect it from SEC guy.
But he does play backyard football. So did Johnny.
Yeah.
Style.
So does
Baker.
So does Baker.
It's one of the things that concerns me about all those guys is can you just sit there and just win from the pocket? Stay on target.
Like Johnny will in Canada.
Stay on target. Like Lamar will in the pros. Boy, you get like fans. I'm currently in the midst of fan expectations versus real expectations. Like Connor Williams being a top 10 pair, top 3, 4, 5 pick. It's not going to happen. And yet fans haven't caught up with that. They don't know because not enough media analysts have.
Well, Todd McShay's still all over him.
That's what I'm saying. Todd McShay hasn't told you what to think yet. So there are people just like, what are you? Oh, you're the only person who says this. I guess I watch tape and Todd doesn't. I don't know what to tell you.
Ooh.
But people who have watched tape know that's not going to happen. You start seeing the same thing with different players at this time of the year where the fans' expectation, like, Baker Mayfield's not going to be a top 5 or 6 pick. That's not going to be, especially with Sam Darnold coming out. Sam's probably going to be the number one pick, I think. But I'm not sure I love that pick, but I think it's going to happen. But like, let me see if I can give you another example. Like Royce Freeman, Oregon. Everyone's going to talk about he's the most rushing yards ever in FBS history. May not go to the fourth round because he didn't do anything special, and it's deep, 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 deep running back class. Nick Chubb. Is Nick Chubb a first rounder? Nope.
No.
May not be a second rounder. Sony Michel will go ahead of him.
Yeah.
You know?
But Nick has had injuries too.
Nick had a really bad. I don't think he's bounced back to even today. He's not the same player I saw when he was a freshman. I was like, dude, he looks as good as Todd Gurley.
Yep.
And I thought Gurley was awesome.
Yep. All right, 8:16. Again, we're behind on. That's what
Lance. I put this
nice,
on Del.
Nice job, Lance.
Nice job, Lance.
Del,
nice job.
At any point you can just jump in and stop.
Not
the
when
show.
You have a live. I can't really interrupt.
Yeah, you can say, hey, Why Lance.
How come you don't play Raheel's music for him?
Because it's not as funny. If you want to know the truth.
That's his Raheel bit.
That is the truth. Yeah.
That's his Raheel bit. And you know what? I wish there was some Bill Advisor music. I guess they could do the old play out music like you get at the it's award season, right? So you had Golden Globes yesterday. You got Oscars coming up. And when they start playing the music, that means, well, it's time to go. Get off the stage. You should have somebody from Bill Advisor playing the music for some of the people who have you know, some of the businesses that you work with that have continued to take your money and charge you rates that they don't charge other people. And here's what I mean. Have you been with AT&T, for example, who bought out DirecTV? I've been a customer for years and years and years. I got ticked off because I kept getting upset that new customers kept getting so much better deals than I did, and my rates were just sky high. And one of the things Bill Advisor did for me is they got me better rates. They lowered my number. They got me bill credits, and they got me more channels. They came in and negotiated just like I was a brand new customer. That's what they do across the board. Home security, auto insurance, home insurance, energy. They do it with cell phone, home phone, internet. They continue to negotiate those rates for you and those deals for you. Take some of those bogus fees out of there, and before you know it, you're saving. I saved over $2,000 in 2017. How much will you save? Go to BillAdvisor.com or just today text BILLS to 313131. That's BILLS to 313131.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Time for the three. Lance is busy doing impressions of my father, but right now we're going to get to the three where I ask these guys three questions about what happened over the weekend, get the responses, just get a conversation going.
Dude,
That's how Lance does my dad. My dad did not want to talk about Yannick Ngakoue. He doesn't care about Yannick Ngakoue or Richie Incognito. Right. Oh, we haven't gotten to that story yet. But the first question in the Big Three, which quarterback's future was most affected by the wild card round?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, man, that's a really good
future
question.
Future affected?
Yeah.
By the wild card round.
It could be a backup like Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith or Alex Smith. Which quarterback during the wild
card
weekend?
Could be Bortles. It could be Tyrod.
Could be anybody.
That's a great question. I'm going to go Alex Smith.
I'm going to go Bortles.
No. I'm going to go Bortles too, yeah.
But I think Bortles may have, well, he actually played okay this year.
I think Alex was on the way out anyway.
But his performance, it's solidified.
He's been bad for
three straight games. He's done.
They got to go in a different direction. Although, they may have to roll with him again next year.
Not if they're picking late and what if Lamar Jackson is there?
You know what? I would actually, that's one of those teams I would plug a rookie into.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Like with Alex Smith,
what if Baker's sitting there.
You could get Alex Smith. You could have performance go down from Pat Mahomes, Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes for year one. In Jacksonville, it's not going to go like it's already low. Right. You just need it to be serviceable, and you can win with Jacksonville
and make a play down the field. What if Baker's sitting there? Mm-hmm. That's their number one need is quarterback.
Yeah.
And guess what? Somebody is going to be sitting there.
Who's your answer, Del?
I would probably go with Pat Mahomes.
You think? I think Alex might have been there one more year if they had made a run.
Yeah, but now you've got Pat Mahomes on a team that it's still probably going to be a playoff type team. And could Pat Mahomes step in, much like Ben Roethlisberger did in his second year?
You know, those fans have gotten to the point where they're so over Alex Smith. But Andy Reid. Man, why are you not running a football? What are you doing? I can't stand when play callers try to get too geniusy in the playoffs. Do what you do.
It's what Andy Reid does, though.
He's known for that. Yeah.
Time for number two in the three. We talked about this during the break. A lot of people probably didn't see it, but on Saturday afternoon early, they had the Adidas Army All-American game sponsored by Adidas. And we had one player in particular that caught my eye. His name is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's the brother of Equanimeous St. Brown, the wide receiver at Notre Dame. Amon-Ra is a receiver as well. And he had the propensity, after catching a pass, to punt the ball into the crowd.
After every catch?
Not after every catch, but he did it after a couple. One in particular, after a first down. It wasn't even a touchdown. It was after a first down, after a long catch. He punted the ball into the crowd. And as you might imagine, got a 15-yard penalty. Let me ask you two. You guys have a circle of friends. Lance, you've got guys who scout and are GM decision makers. John, you know these guys too. But in your circle of friends, if there was a kid in your circle of friends, the son of one of your friends, and he did that sort of thing, how would that play in your circle of friends? A kid who just decides, you know what, I'm just going to punt the ball. He has that kind of bleep, don't care attitude. How would your friends respond if Amon-Ra St. Brown was like a kid in your circle?
Football friends.
Yeah.
Not great. And everyone knows the wide receivers are usually the biggest divas on the team. Well, them and cornerbacks, the guys who have to go against each other. But since that gets you a 15-yard penalty every single time you do it, probably not.
I'll tell you this. Love it. I know a lot of coaches. As far as coaches go, I'll take him. You know what? We'll give him a good kick in the ass, and he'll stop that crap. But I'll take that kid because you know why? He's in the Under Armour game making catches. I'm going to take that kid. But we'll straighten them out. Don't worry.
Coaches always feel like they could always be the one, right?
Yep.
They can always feel. I don't know. Watching that game, I mean, I'm a guy.
Can you tell us where he's going?
He's going to USC. He picked USC.
Oh, okay.
And during his announcement, he did a product placement for his dad's like protein company or something.
Kid's got it all. I think the kid's a triple threat.
That's a little cheesy.
He's a triple threat. Woo. Okay. He could be a penalty anytime.
Ooh, I feel
he
big,
could be the NCAA whoa, could suspend him, big or ball, he won't be eligible.
This is a big baller brand situation here. Even. Is there a third brother? Is there a third brother coming?
I don't know. There might be. Who knows?
You got a dad with a product. You got three football playing brothers.
Yeah. You know what I love? I never heard from their dad.
Well, get ready.
You know what? A question I asked Dell. Name a dad. Name the last time you heard from a dad other than LeVar Ball.
Oh. David Carr's dad?
You didn't hear from him. He wasn't on the news. He wasn't making any news other than standing on the sideline. Deontay Foreman's dad.
Oh yeah.
I love Derek Foreman.
Yeah.
I love Derek Foreman.
Yeah, that's one. Other than that,
I'm not sure that's all.
Have you heard from dad?
The university?
Hey, you know, we're in a new, and we'll talk about this on the other side, is Rick Carlisle and what he said, and I love Rick Carlisle now. I just love Rick Carlisle.
What's your third of the three? What's the question there? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah, it wouldn't go well.
Final question, still sticking with Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you had two choices, you can only name your next son if you had a next son, these two names, which one would you pick? Lil Jordan for Lil Jordan Humphrey or Amon-Ra? Which name would you choose for your next
son? Why can't I have Aquaminius?
I'm only giving you the two options.
I'm going Lil Jordan.
Amon-Ra, or not little, Lil.
Lil.
No, I go Lil Jordan.
You go Lil Jordan.
I'm going Lil Jordan, too.
I go Lil Jordan. You know why? Because we're staying true to Mike.
Mike. It's all about Mike.
But Amon-Ra has some kind of deeper...
Sounds like a sushi place.
That's deeper meaning than Lil Jordan.
It's more of the African Amon-Ra, like the... the Ankh and...
No, I'm going Lil Jordan.
I think Lil Jordan, just because I'm tired of all the LeBron guys, I literally would name my child Lil Jordan just to piss them off.
Mm-hmm.
What about Lil LeBron?
Nah. No.
You wouldn't go Lil Deontay?
You didn't give me that choice.
You didn't say that.
I didn't give you that choice.
You also
you
didn't give us Aquaminius.
I'm not giving you Aquaminius.
Because that's a lock.
You would name your kid after you. You named your kid after you. You're no way you're naming your son Aquaminius.
Aquaminius. Yes. No, that's one of the great names of all time.
That's the end of the three.
All right. 829 ESPN 97.5 703-780-3776. And when we come back, I want to talk about this Rick Carlisle thing. I love, love, love Rick Carlisle. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Brian Peroni is saying that Courtney Rowland has been found by Houston police. So he said he has talked to the family, too, apparently. Not sure yet where she was. Headed back to the house. Just got word from the family. Brian Peroni says this. And he's got a check mark next to his Twitter name, so he's got to be verified.
Well, Raheel does, too, so can't we trust
that's
him?
That's true, so we don't know. But apparently,
that's good news.
Apparently, Courtney Rowland has been found. So that's a great thing.
So, because we're idiots, how long before we start speculating about what actually happened?
Because we will do that immediately.
Yeah,
we'll do that immediately. All right, you got the Rick. So apparently ESPN is interviewing LeVar Ball, and LeVar Ball says something to the effect of Luke Walton has lost the locker room. They don't listen to him. They're not listening to him. They're losing by 30 points. And I know when the team is losing by 30 points. And LeVar Ball knows because we've seen his AAU team lose by 30 points and suck.
When you coach your own son to shoot from half court, that'll happen.
Right. So we've seen that. And he says, you know, that means you've lost the locker room. His son is on the team. ESPN is carrying and listening to this. I swear to God, never been more disgusted in sports. Maybe David Carr's haircut. Maybe that disgusted me more. I'm not sure which one. But this is, to me, LeVar Ball is the most disgusting thing in sports.
I really, you know, it's one thing to, you can talk about him being a brand manager and creating this and that, and that's fine. I mean, I think to me, he's just, you know, it's kind of clownish, but whatever. I mean, if it works for him, it works for him. I think Lonzo Ball is a solid basketball player, but the hype on him far, far superseded
he's a ball.
What he is as a player. I think he's a solid player.
And the two brothers as well.
Kyle Kuzma is going to be way better. Oh, no, the other brother. Kyle Kuzma is going to be a way better pro, I think, than Lonzo Ball, but they're also different types of players. But what he's doing right now, where he's interjecting himself. See, I love that people thought that LeVar Ball was going to just fade into the spotlight, fade into the distance, and nothing was going to be the case. He'd worry about his other sons, and LeVar or Lonzo was going to be a Laker, and the Lakers would handle everything. What kind of fool thought LeVar, who clearly wants to be at the forefront of everything, was going to go away when he went to the Lakers. Now he's talking about, and this is the second time he's done this, Luke Walton's a problem. The players aren't buying into Luke Walton. And yes, the Lakers have been disappointing, and any coach who is on a team where expectations are higher and they're not performing, you know, is subject to potentially be fired at any time. But this is a player's dad. That's all he is. He's a player's dad and a loud guy who's from the LA area.
And you knew this was going to, he was going to
you
criticize.
You knew it and was going to happen.
I'm telling you.
Every coach who has ever coached him has come under fire. Every coach.
Every single one. And you knew that this.
He got rid of the Chino Hills coach last year.
Yeah. You knew that this was going to happen. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if one idiot radio or television station doesn't have him doing a post game after every Laker game to the LeVar Ball, because that's what we have come to.
Too expensive.
Not if you get listeners. Oh, well, not. Oh, it may pay off for him. I don't know, because people are idiots that listen to this, anything this dude has to say. But Rick Carlisle, who's the president apparently of the NBA Coaches Association, would have none of this. Here's what he had to say about LeVar Ball and this Luke Walton thing.
Printing an article where the father of an NBA player has an opinion that is printed as anything like legitimate erodes trust. It erodes the trust that we've built with ESPN, and our coaches are upset because Luke Walton does not deserve that. You know, 2 years ago, he took a veteran team and led them to 24 wins in a row, which is an amazing accomplishment. And off of that, you know, he earned the Laker job. And to have to deal with these kinds of ignorant distractions, you know, is deplorable.
And the coaches are saying, keep on. And I can't agree more. You're just...
Who is LeVar Ball? The player's dad?
The player's dad. Again, name another player's dad that has had, that you know of or have heard ever speak.
And here's what ESPN...
Here's
what ESPN would tell... No, you're right. But here's what ESPN would tell you. And this is why, to me, Twitter is so sad. Because Twitter has created a different way of consuming that has permeated sports media. Because Twitter, how many times, and Dell and Raheel, I'll bring you guys on this one. You know my number one pet peeve right now is Twitter roasts whatever. Twitter's not happy about this. And people are so lazy in journalism now that they just collect and aggregate tweets and then pretend. And a lot of these are just people who are just somebody with 46 followers who works at a pet store or whatever. And they're given a voice like someone who, like this is the feel of America. Like, this is America speaking. And it's not, I think that's highly inaccurate in many cases. And it all it does is feed people to be the loud trolls. Like, hey, I matter. Louder I talk about something, you know, the more, look, sometimes it is news reactions to stuff that's going on. But this default to the lazy Twitter roast, Twitter's not happy about this. Twitter saw this and loved it. Twitter is this and that. Like, Twitter is a person. This is ridiculous because it's permeated the way that people gather information and what they believe that the general public wants. And they might be right. This is the sad, John, this is the sad reality, is it probably is moving the needle when LeVar Ball is on First Take or whatever. You know, that's the sad reality.
Well, it's a Kardashian. It's this society. It's the Kardashian society.
Aren't their jobs to get as many clicks and hits?
But using him as a quote, as a story in a story,
it is deplorable.
That has any kind of journalistic integrity is, I'm with Rick Carlisle 100%. You've lost your integrity when you're using this guy to get clicks to that you're calling this some kind of news.
Do you think that's news? Do you guys think that's news that LeVar Ball doesn't think a coach is doing a good job?
No.
Now, he might not be. But that's going to be discussed in a regular news cycle anyway. But when is LeVar Ball ever like the coach? Ever?
No. And that's all he can do is criticize. That's it.
When has he said something good about somebody other than his own kids? No, do you guys know?
No, never.
Ever.
Never. Yeah. Two things, though. You know, your Twitter thing about Twitter has this. But that's the thing. You have to determine. It's Twitter. They're not saying that this is what the world is thinking. This is what Twitter's reaction is. And you have to take that with a grain of salt.
But that, Twitter's reaction. It might be, if it's en masse, I would agree with you. If that's the overwhelming reaction.
Yeah.
But anybody can pick and choose and decide that. When you say Twitter, how many users are there?
There's millions, billions.
Probably
right?
Billions.
Yeah, but then you also have it as a person that's trying to figure out, like, what really is the pulse of this story.
Right.
You can also do a
search.
Okay,
you've done some of the social media stuff before.
Absolutely. And you have to be careful with that.
So you can't – now, this is what data dredging is. Daryl accused me of data dredging with Ryan Anderson's Home in a Row. Home and Away, 3-point stuff. But data dredging, it truly is, it's not data dredging, but it is opinion dredging, where you can go pick out what you want to pick out and create a narrative.
Something that lines up with your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. It's not hard.
You can do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And the other thing about clicks versus journalistic integrity and stories and all that, that line is so blurred because you want to get people to get to your website, go to your news channel, listen to your show, all that stuff.
You're actually the perfect person to talk about this because you came up at UT, what was your major?
It was broadcast journalism.
Okay, broadcast journalism. Mm-hmm. So you came up in 2006?
2007 was my, I graduated 2007.
Do you believe that LeVar Ball, that is a story?
It's a story because it's a player's dad making an opinion that is not an opinion we're used to. Like, dude, what are you doing? You're a player's dad. There's no reason for you to
Except
criticize
he's
the
done
coach.
This over and Except over.
He, yeah, and he keeps doing it. But as long as it provides clicks, and Jamil Hill had a really good tweet yesterday where it said, everyone's so tired of LeVar Ball. Everyone's exhausted of this. Yet the clicks show otherwise. So if we're still going and supporting and clicking on these and reacting to it, people are still going to go out and get stories about LeVar Ball.
And
journalists are going to go.
And Manziel is the same
thing.
It's a weird cycle that we have to break, though.
No, not if you have any, to me, if you have any journalists. If LeVar Ball, and we probably have so many more listeners, I would never have LeVar Ball on this show.
John, do you know who
ever,
had, do you know who had journalistic integrity? Sports Illustrated. And you know where they are right now? If you don't play that game, the fear of being newspapers had journalistic integrity.
Well,
you know what? They
but
got
newspapers
rolled.
Are kind of a different deal.
Well, everyone,
but they got
though,
rolled
John,
by new media
because they, well, but the way that the media is today, that's why newspapers got rolled.
Everyone has to do
and
it.
You know what? You still want
but
journalistic integrity.
What about Around the Horn? A bunch of newspaper guys who used to just write regular articles, and now they understand. Man, I got to be like Woody Page. Supposedly, they say he's not really that way. Stephen A. Smith, I heard, isn't even that way.
We know what Skip Bayless is.
These guys are all newspaper guys, though, and now they have to be like, you got to, I'm Bill Plaschke. This is what I think about this. Mute Tony Rioli. Go to the next loud newspaper guy that used to not be loud, but now they know this is what the new rules are. You got to be that. Like, it's not changing. It's not going back. We're not going back to long-form journalism.
No,
but
people nobody says that. But
there is a place for long-form journalism.
Well, there is a place, and there's a place for LeVar Ball. It ain't on ESPN, though. It isn't.
No, but
it's on. It's
no
on tabloid. Yes, it's just
it's
like
not,
the Kardashians. It's
ESPN,
tabloid.
It's not
ESPN
anymore.
Is no
the
longer.
Way you,
it's not like we don't.
It's done.
Do you go to ESPN as a journalistic source now?
Well, yeah.
There's stories
I still do.
They act like
it's
they do.
Both.
Yes, because that's where you get stories.
Both.
That's where you get sports stories.
But that's why ESPN's struggling because they can't figure out.
No. Their liberalism and their...
They just can't figure out what... They're just trying to listen to the audience, and they can't figure it out because it's... Yeah. Because the audience is louder now, and you don't even know what the masses really think. But Twitter and social media creates a loudness, and you don't even know how loud it really is. You can't tell. And I think ESPN has become hyper-reactive to what they think the public wants, which is the only way you deliver that is through Twitter. But Raheel is right. I mean, ESPN has fundamentally changed, meaning they still do all the journalism stuff. Wright Thompson does amazing long-form journalism on ESPN. Amazing. But that's really rare. You don't get that anymore.
It's hard waking up as an editor. You look at your stats from the day before, and it is a numbers-driven business on their website.
Oh, absolutely.
That's Fred Fowler.
And you go there, and you go, wow, we had 75 million clicks to this LeVar Ball story. Yeah, we better not do a story on them again. Hard to say.
When I was at 790, you know what we would look at? We'd look at the numbers. This isn't going to surprise you. Our web numbers. Mm-hmm. If Josh are here, Josh, if you can hear us, come on in. Josh helped us build those numbers there. And it doesn't, you can say whatever you want. We got a viral video or, you know, we got some video.
No.
An article
different.
About this, an article about that. You know what really hit more than anything? Hot girls and bikinis. What a shocker. The hot girl slideshow.
No, I like, never said that I everything. Was anti-hot girl in bikini.
I never assumed you
I
were.
I said LeVar Ball I was against, not hot girl in bikini. Let's not make any mistakes here. 846 ESPN 90s. Let's be champions here. Let's be champions of our own domain. And let's do it the right way with Champion Energy. Let's spend less money every month. Let's get the best service. Let's get free weekends. Let's not any more pay more than we have to. Let's get a company that will always tell you when your contract is up and that there's a better rate out there. No other company is doing that. They're just not. What they want to do is keep you at that old rate and then, oh, yeah, okay, well, yeah, there's a better rate, if I guess, if you want. Well, why didn't you tell me? Well, that's what they do at Champion Energy. Go to 1560energy.com, 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090, promo code 1560.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Lance along with Raheel Dell. We got to get Flash in here. He's been waiting a while. Alabama's playing tonight. Flash is a huge Bama guy.
Yeah, we know.
What? Stop. All right? Can you be a little respectful to, you know, we got Alabama people
it's
here.
It's college football. There's no respect
yeah,
needed.
Nobody gives a rat's ass. Yeah. Go ahead. Get Flash in here. What do you say, Flash?
Yeah, I'll get Dell a date with my Aunt Carol. That's an inside joke from one of his shows one day. But anyway,
yeah, that's an ugly
joke. I was streaming you guys at breakfast this morning, and I heard you talking about the game tonight and the Alabama-Auburn situation. But, you know, Alabama averaged over 5 yards a carry against Auburn then, and, you know, we lost, and nobody cares. But Auburn only ran for a little over 3 yards a carry. You know, Jarrett Stidham basically put the game away with about a 26-yard run when Thudy Jones got his knee blown out with an Auburn helmet, and he had contain on that play. But, you know, it was a real bad game by Alabama. But Georgia went, you know, there 2 weeks earlier, and they ran for 47 yards. Alabama went for 211. So Bama can run against good defense.
Well, Damian Harris is a beast. Scarborough's a beast. I mean, they're, you know, I don't think there's any question about it. Yeah, Alabama can run the football.
Hey, the question
my question is, if you fall behind, can Jalen Hurts throw you into a win? And I don't think the answer is yes.
Against Mississippi State, they were down 7-0. He answered with a 39-second drive.
Yeah. Well,
we went down 14.
You ain't playing Mississippi
Flash.
State.
I mean, come on, Mississippi State.
Come on.
He answered with a drive. I mean,
okay.
That's, and you don't have you a lot of. Now, he went back and forth with Clemson. He went back and forth with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but he did it with his feet.
2 years in a row. Well, so did Vince Young against, you know, the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, no. I'm saying, but can he pass you into? And I don't think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I don't know that he has to. But
he did against Mississippi State. I know you're saying it's Mississippi State.
Is Mississippi State in this game tonight?
Flash, I would say this.
I didn't know Mississippi State was playing
this
tonight.
This Mississippi State's thing is pretty irrelevant. Yeah. But here's the thing. You can talk about your yards per carry all you want, but the fact was Auburn – you got 100 yards between the tackles with Kerryon Johnson, which rarely happens. There's a stat. Cole Kubelik had the stat. It's happened incredibly infrequently under Nick Saban where a running game was able to get 100 yards, one ball carry, 100 yards between the tackles. It's very rare. And so it's less about yards per carry and more about the ability to play physically and match Alabama's physicality, and that's what Auburn did. The question is, no one's going to have a big – like, no one's going to just gash the – no one's going to gash Bama on the ground with their running game. I don't think that's going to happen. But can you match physicality and punch back against Bama? And I do think that's a legitimate question with Georgia because Georgia has three good running backs. They've got a solid offensive line. The reason I don't think Georgia can beat Bama is because at some point Bama is going to say, look, we're going to have eight in a box. And Fromm's going to have to beat us. And I just don't think he can. I'm laying the points with Bama.
I don't know. I would rather have Fromm, if you want to know the truth, if it's Hurts or Fromm throwing the ball, I'd rather have Fromm.
But you would rather have, but you say that.
I'd rather have Hurts at quarterback.
It's quarterback and not just throwing the ball.
No, I know. But if I have the choice of either of those two guys throwing the football, it's going to be Fromm.
But you liked Matt Ryan because of his experience That's a lot of experience for.
Oh no, absolutely.
I mean, he wins big games.
We got a freshman quarterback. Yeah, there's no
Hurts
question.
Wins big
but I'll
games.
Tell you what, Fromm played well. Now it was against Oklahoma's defense. Yeah. That's a different deal.
A lot different.
But since we're on Mississippi State, they did rush for 174 yards against you. You know that, right?
I mean, that was a quarterback who Nick.
No, he only had 66 yards.
Yeah, but that
they
that
ran
adds
the ball
to
on
it.
Him. Yeah. They ran for 172 against Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's Mississippi State, who's not in this game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't
They're
know.
Not in it.
Not sure why they kept coming up.
Yeah. 855. Are we going on 94-1? We are, so we got to take a break. We had flash. We did get flash.
You're not laying up. You're taking the points?
I'm torn on this one. I don't know yet.
I could see 4.5 taking it. Once you get to below 4, I'm firing Bama.
I think the sexy bet is Georgia, and I think the correct bet is Alabama.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But you think the smart money's going Georgia?
I think the smart money has gone Georgia because of the line's gone down.
Yeah. I think they got it.
The public is squarely on Alabama. It's not.
Ah, God.
How about those Houston Rockets?
Let's talk about your Houston Rockets, and get your tickets for Rockets Social Media Night presented by McDonald's when the Rockets host Dame Lillard, Damian, and the Portland Trailblazers coming on Wednesday night. Social Media Night is presented by McDonald's exclusively for social media followers of the Rockets. You can get two tickets, one all-star poster to be autographed by Eric Gordon post-game, and packages start as low as $58. Door is going to open at 6 p.m. For more information, go to Rockets.com. You can call 713-627-DUNK to get your tickets today. And don't forget, keep voting for our all-stars. Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, CP3, James Harden. You put their first name and last name and hashtag NBA vote in any of your social media accounts, and it's going to keep on piling up. For more information on how to vote for all-stars, go to Rockets.com.
Go to SportsMap.com and change the way you look at sports in Houston. That's SportsMap.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson asking you to join us Sunday mornings at 7 for Texas Outdoor News.
It's the country's number one outdoor radio show for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you information and news you can use and guests you'll want to listen to from the industry and the field.
Now in our 25th year as Texas' favorite outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Sunday mornings 7 to 8 on ESPN 97.5.
KFNC,
Mont Bellevue, Houston,
a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space. For spring, view our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big.